It is my pleasure to welcome in the studio today Mark and Paula Persons. They were inducted into the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame last week at a ceremony in Rochester, Minnesota. Mark and Paula, good morning. How are you two?
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Great.
Thanks for having us.
Mark, what is the, you got to tell me the story that led up to the prestigious award that you guys got.
We are here today because Paula ran our business for 44 years, so I could build and repair radio stations, 12 new ones, and worked on hundreds of others. And you know, we never had a plan B. We are living in our second architect design residence, where the electronic shop and office are on the first floor with living quarters above. That made it possible to build and repair electronic equipment for the broadcast industry. Some of the items were manufactured nearby, while hundreds of custom items were hand-built in our shop. Equipment came to us from across the country for repair, and other countries outside of the U.S., and the money came here.
We actually had equipment sent to us from Japan.
Ooh.
And it's expensive to ship this. And so I emailed him back and I said, do you really want, you got to be able to find somebody to repair it in Japan. And it took them about a week and they came back and they says, no, we're going to ship it to you. And I says, okay, it's going to cost you a fortune.
Wow.
So the shipping costs more than the repair charge.
Their shipping was over $1,500.
I'm just curious, how did you make the connection to even know they existed and you made that contact?
It's our website, mwpersons.com. Okay.
And they found you.
It's well known in the broadcast engineering community,
okay,
but the general public, you know, had never seen it or had an interest.
Right. And all this time, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say the Macy Day Parade,
yeah,
one year, it wouldn't have gone on without them. We had a part that was on our website, and they emailed us and they said, can you have it flowing to us so that we can have it in the morning? Because we're going to have problems actually broadcasting. And so I shipped it to him and put it on an airplane seat, and it got there.
No wonder you got this honor. Holy cow. And I bet Mark, this, you know, it's not work to you. This is fun for you guys.
It really is. It was a lifestyle. Retirement came at age 70. However, this lifetime in broadcasting has not ended. We mentor 5 radio broadcast engineers, and the reward? A free lunch now and then.
Why don't you retire and have some fun? Again, it's too fun to retire, it sounds like, between you two.
Oh, he loves the radio, and I kind of married into it. So it's kind of like, okay. So a lot of the people, they'll come, and then they'll bring somebody, their partner or their wives or whatever, and then I help them with the accounting. I says, this is how I ran the financial.
Okay. So before we continue, Mark and Paula, did you kind of learn the broadcast side as you got together and you know formed your relationship and up to now?
Very much so, because like I started out in real estate. I was a loan closer at a local place. And then I was actually trained as a legal secretary. It got to the point where I couldn't hold down 2 jobs because I was working for him. So
sure.
I actually ended up going full-time with him so that he could be out on in the field, and then I took care of everything that came into the office.
And then you had to learn all the jargon and everything associated so that you could run the business, you know, and keep everything going strong.
Oh, very much so. And then I also attended all the conferences with him.
Right.
We went to the National Association of Broadcasters, which was 120,000 was the big year for the most that I was there. And I got to know the people.
Okay.
I got to know the dealers and everything. It was fun to...
And interestingly, we're just lucky to be a rare combination, man and wife team, who can actually work together. You know, it's interesting, when we were both in the office at the same time, our desks face each other, and we worked as...
Purposely.
On
yeah.
purpose, that's
okay,
right.
Okay.
Because then we could do hand signals and everything else while we're on the phone and all of that. And we would work as employees. We were just co-workers. But when 5 o'clock came, that's when we became man and wife again.
Yeah. Did you, in other words, you were kind of restrained from the time during work, and then you just, all the frustration, just let it all out at that time.
Well, you know, he's an engineer.
Oh.
They're usually not people.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't tell me a whole lot. We went out, and I actually drove to the Dakotas so that he could work. So he works all night. I would sleep, and then I would drive us back. Yeah. It worked out pretty good for us.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he used to write articles for Radio World, which is a magazine for the trade. He actually, I had to take all the bad words and proper English the articles.
Yeah, this goes back to the day when we could email something, yeah. and I would handwrite an article, and then she would type it.
So I'm typing up, and he hadn't mentioned this while we're on the seven-hour trip coming home, mm-hmm. that middle of the night, they're taking care of the station, owner goes home who had been working with them, all of a sudden, policeman shows up. He thinks Mark's stealing equipment. So, by gunpoint, Mark is held there with his hands up in the air until the police officer waits until the guy gets home,
right.
actually calls and asks the owner, is it all right? Can this man take this equipment back to his car? Oh, yeah, that's fine. So it's like, dear, why didn't you tell me that?
Mark, being held up at gunpoint, well, probably nothing new to you there at all. Or?
Well, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
See,
so
that's what I'm saying.
This has happened to me before.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, and then when he worked at the radio station down at the prison in St. Cloud, he says that was an eerie feeling when they would clank the door behind him. And,
oh, yeah.
you know, you can't get out. And it's like, this is interesting.
Yeah, right.
It was a Carrier Current AM radio station where the inmates could do radio within the prison
mm-hmm.
so they could be heard all over the prison. And they had some technical problems. And since I'm an AM person anyway and engineer available, so I went there and repaired the problems. But I had to have a bodyguard with me all the time. And every time we went somewhere, clank, the doors would close shut big time because, you know, they can't let these people run free.
Yep.
Here I am trying to do my engineering.
Trying to do a job.
He was worried they wouldn't let him out.
But luckily they did. You know, luckily they did. For perspective, the NBA Hall of Fame, it's a group of notables, including, let's see, Charlie Boone, Don Shelby. These are names I know even at my age. Franklin Hobbs, Halsey Hall, Howard Vickin. I'm looking at the list here. Or is it Vickin? Is it Vickin? Howard Vickin? Herb Carneal, Stanley Hubbard, Paul Douglas, Roger Awesome, and Steve Cannon, CCO. I remember growing up listening to Steve Cannon at times and his talent. Man, this is a list of great talent here. Tell us more about that, Mark.
Well, you know, it's rare when engineers are inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame because engineers operate in the background, unseen, unheard by the public. Many times at broadcast transmitter sites doing maintenance, upgrades, and emergency repairs after midnight. Now you're talking about someone who loves to do the work in spite of the time of day.
And as you mentioned, Paula, you were a real estate loan closer.
Yep. I did that for a few years, and then I got into the legal part of it. So that kind of helped me in our business to understand what was going on. And I got another story.
Sure.
Right? Great
yes,
story.
Please.
This is a fun one. This is kind of local. Mark, being an engineer, being a city kid, he hadn't been around farms. Well, and cows.
Mm-hmm.
Cows had a tendency, you put a transmitter, the towers that you transmit mm-hmm. the airwaves, they're usually in a farmyard. So Mark notices that there's a lot of cows around, so he goes out, a lot of flies, so he goes out and he looks, and it's like, here comes this bull at him. Now, Mark's a city kid, he figures, bull, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Bull says, no, you're messing with my heifers. So he headbutts Mark.
Oh.
Needless to say, Mark hurries back into the transmitter building until the cow goes away, and then he goes back and he says to the owner, I just got headbutted by this cow. So the owner mentions it to the farmer who owns it, and the farmer says, you tell your engineer he needs to be careful. That bull could have killed Mark.
Oh, my goodness.
So Mark shows up at the radio station the next time, and here's the owner out there with a flag, Toro, Toro. You gotta love radio.
Did you get hurt, Mark, or just a little bump, a little bruise? Or?
Just one of those. It wasn't bad, but it was a bump in the road. Let's put it
there
that way.
There you go.
But there was one other thing. I had a white van truck that I was driving, and the cows, for whatever reason, thought that it just tasted good or whatever. So they licked the thing from end to end,
yeah.
and it was just brown by the time I left there with my otherwise white van. It took it to a car wash, and that only took off some of it. I must have spent an hour and a half at home afterward washing the car down.
Oh, we've got some great stories.
You got some, the history of this, just being a broadcast engineer, what it all can involve, all this history. And you had said that you helped Mark write articles for Radio World.
Yes. Yeah, it's a monthly magazine, mm-hmm. and he's probably written 200 articles for the actual magazine. But we would do that in, another story.
You got more stories, Paula? We got some time.
Okay, how about people comment, well, you live where you work.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. He'd be out working on a radio station in northern Minnesota. It's down. He realizes he needs a part. So he calls home at 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, Paula, go downstairs, check the schematic and see what I need. Okay, now is that a 3 or a 9 or a 7? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't, what do I know?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, go downstairs, find this part. Okay, got the part. Okay, now you will meet and this true story, you'll meet the guy. It was, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning at the halfway point. So here I am in the Dairy Queen in Pine River in the middle of the night looking for somebody who I didn't know at that point. I'll meet you underneath the light at 3:30. I hope the police don't show up and wonder what I'm doing in the middle of the night and meeting a strange man. So yeah. Here you go. Here's the equipment. So Mark got it. So it's back on the air by 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
But that's why we actually had it in our home, because otherwise I would have had to drive down to where we had our office and find this part and then go crawl back in bed.
Now, our office was never for consumers. It was our office and mm-hmm. shop. And occasionally, one of our broadcast customers would stop by and he'd say, well, here's some equipment for repair. But we also had a little trouble in the city at both of the homes that we had, because it was a business in our home, which is an unusual thing. You know, you think of businesses as being on Washington Street,
sure.
like this radio station. But how about a home in a residential area that happens to be a business? So we had to clear that with city council twice.
Oh, we had a little fun with that, too, because Mark, one of our clients, had a problem. So Mark had to fly out to Washington, D.C. in front of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. He was on the stand, for 5 hours.
No.
It was a long time. So the poor man comes home, and he had been trained. You answer, yes, no, yes, no. So that night, he flies in. That night, we had to go to a Brainerd City Council meeting. They wanted to know, okay, what kind of home, brand new area, what are you going to do here? What kind, what's it going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Mark, it's our home.
Short to the
we
point.
We live there. Yeah, and he wasn't going to tell him anything. I finally got up and says, okay, this is what it's going to look like. This is our home now. And it was kind of funny because we got done and it's like he was so brain dead before he got home.
And you still have that, you still live in where it's home above and workspace below, right?
That's right. It's been that way for 40 years. This is our second location like that. Very difficult to sell a piece of property like that because no one understands it.
But with us, it works so well because, especially during COVID, it's like, okay, what are you going to do? You can't see people. So we actually started repairing equipment, and a lot of people can't do what Mark does. He can repair the old radios and the old radio equipment that end up in the dump. Well, it's fun to repair this stuff and bring it up to what it used to look like.
Right.
And the old broadcasters love it. And then we gave some down to the Pavick Museum down in Minneapolis, or actually at St. Louis Park, Museum of Broadcasting. We've also given a couple pieces of one piece of equipment to the Crow Wing County Historical Society. Mm-hmm. It's just nice to give back to the communities.
Now, you mentioned you worked during COVID, which wasn't not too long ago. Does that mean the business was quote-unquote sold at that time, or is it just more sold recently?
Well, we retired 7 years ago.
Okay, so that's sooner than that.
Sooner than that, and it's kind of like he loves to mentor. Man is Mr. Radio. He built his first radio station when he was 7. It went a block and a half.
Well, our family owned WELY radio at the time, and I think I was 8, Paula.
Get it right, Paula. My goodness. All right, yeah.
Anyway, and so if my folks could have a radio station, then I could too. So I wanted to have my own as well. So it's just been a lifetime experience.
Yeah. From there, how did you, We got a little few minutes here, Mark. Give us the bullet point. From then, you went, how many stations did you kind of, you know, develop and work with and all that stuff?
Okay, well, at age 16, I did all of the wiring for KVBR Radio, one of the other radio stations in town. 1964, they had brought in the equipment, set it in place, and said, here's a roll of wire, connect it all, which I did. Which was just the way, that's just a part of my life.
You just kind of taught yourself, or did you get this from the family?
I guess I learned a lot from my father.
Okay.
But as an amateur radio operator, I just knew all of the science behind it and loved it. So give me a roll of wire and I'll just have at it.
Well, that was 16, and then you Vietnam was happening. So you enlisted there.
Yeah, and I wound up teaching electronics at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. But they needed people so bad that even I got to go to Vietnam to do high-tech electronic repair. And so, but that was just to fulfill what I felt was a young man's requirement to serve his country. And then when I was over with, I was back to Brainerd. And back to doing broadcast engineering, which is something I always wanted to do and was doing.
So basically, you're still doing the business. You just sold the namesake of it, basically? You're kind of the...
Actually, we didn't sell it. We actually gave it away.
You gave it away.
Our accountant went, you did what?
That's what I'm thinking. What?
And it's just, we believed you take care of your customer will take care of you. And they did. And so we could do this. We had offers, and we said, you know... We need broadcast engineers. We need people who know how to repair a radio station. Why put them into debt? So we have been mentoring. And keeps Mark out of my hair. So he does that, and I enjoy it. And we do some other stuff. I have some fun, so does he.
It's a good time to have a little space every now and then, and then come together again. It works. That's how it works.
Well, that's why I became a scuba diver, is because
that's right.
I could go underwater and nobody could find me.
I know. I watched you got a YouTube video that you sent me a link to the video. How does people find that video if they could? Oh, is that public?
You can find it at our commercial website, which is mwpersons.com. That's like Mark Whitney Persons. It's mwpersons.com. And there's a link you can click on, and then you can see the video that they created that was a part of the Hall of Fame recognition dinner that night.
Okay. Well, now I got to ask Paula, how did you get, and it's featured that you are the scuba diver professional. How'd you get into that line of things?
Actually, it was one of those years you do your New Year's resolution, and I decided once a month I was going to do something a little out of ordinary.
Okay.
And that was so far out of my ordinary box that I couldn't even see the edges. Somebody says, you know, I'm going to Cancun. I'm going to get certified to go scuba diving.
Okay.
Come with me. And I'm going, huh? Why would you want to do that? Well, I went in and I looked at it and I thought, meh, this looks fun. I'll try it. So I got certified, and that was like 25 years ago. And I thought, if I go once a month, I now go twice a week. I actually help up in Duluth at the aquarium there.
Oh,
I go
okay.
in and I clean the insides of the tanks. And I'm at the end of next week or the week after, before Halloween, I will be carving my pumpkin underwater at the aquarium. And then I also do it with the local dive shop here.
And she has over 1,000 dives to her credit.
Oh, my goodness.
And a dive isn't something like you go to the lake and jump in. This is... Tell us about the procedure to make this whole thing happen.
Oh, it just takes like 45 minutes before you get your suit on and everything else.
That's before the suit.
Yeah, you know, you got to get ready
and you
get all your equipment and you get in there. And we just have it's a nice way for me to keep active and to keep in shape. And like I said, he can't find me underwater. The radio stations couldn't find me underwater, so it was a real nice break for me. So I do that, and then I also clean tombstones. Been doing that.
Oh, that's also in the video. You can see that part.
Yeah, I
that's
clean
really
veteran
cool.
tombstones for
very nice.
Civil War and before with the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Okay. That's it. And the All Veterans Memorial.
Oh, yeah, we do the flowers at the All Vets Memorial. So, you know, we want to give back to the community, and that's why we do this stuff. That's why we mentor. it's important to us to be active. It's like Mark's real involved with the VFW. He was a chaplain for a few years, and it's like, this is important. You want to keep Brainerd, just like radio, you have your local shows because you want to know what's going on.
Here I thought retirement was for rest. I guess I was really wrong.
Nah, like everybody says.
Otherwise you get bored.
Yeah, well, and you know, you're busier when you're retired than when you ever worked. Because right. You say yes to the things you always wanted to do.
Mark and Paula Persons, inducted into the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame. That was, what day was that? That was
October 1st.
October 1st.
It was the last Tuesday during the debate.
And we got just maybe a minute or two here before I got to do a break, but the ceremony, kind of describe the feeling at the ceremony. What did you guys do? How did that work out as far as you got awarded and how did it all transpire?
Yeah, it was Stan Hubbard from, what is it, KSTP?
Yeah.
They were involved. They were inducted. Bill Deal was WCCO.
Yeah,
there were about 500 were there.
Wow.
At the ceremony. It was very interesting to be around broadcasters during the debate, because Pat Kessler was also inducted that night,
yeah.
And he's a CCO political person, so they actually had to fly somebody in to cover for him.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was a standing ovation, because broadcasters were honoring their own big time.
Yep.
And not everyone gets in there. It's we never tried for it. It just happened because of our dedication to the industry.
You have to be nominated, and it's usually your anchors that get it, and there's only been three engineers that have been inducted,
sure.
Or the first time it's ever been a pair.
Great honor. Check out their video, Mark and Paula Persons, mwpersons.com. You can check out the video and see what we've talked about. And Mark, also, what else?
We are honored to have worked with some of America's great radio stations, including this one.
We appreciate it, and thanks for sharing the stories. It was very enjoyable. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Mark and Paula Persons here joining us on the Wake the Lakes Morning Show. We got to take a break, and we'll wind down the show in a moment. Wake the Lakes Morning Show.